Hey, welcome back to Real Talk with Caleb. So glad you found us again on your dials, on the buttons, whatever you use to find us. Thanks so much for tuning back in. Ladies and gentlemen and ladies, as Big Tatum would say, shout out to Big T. We have a special guest in the house tonight. Let me tell you what. Well, it's night, sort of, for me, sort of afternoon for my guest, and then morning or whatever it is for you. But we're not going to belabor this. We're going to jump into it. And today what we're going to be talking about, performers versus posers. You know me, and as Joe Bogdan, shout out to Llama Leadership Team, says they're Calebisms. What we don't want to do is be the pink dumpster juice consuming paper tigers and the leaders of Poserville. So we got my friend, a living legend, Chief Master Sergeant, waiting. We're all waiting to hear that. Senior Master Sergeant, he's a SEL, a senior enlisted leader in the Air Force. Charles E., known as Chuck Ball. Chuck, welcome to the show, man. Thank you so much for joining us over here on Real Talk with Caleb. And that's what we're going to get into, man. We're going to hear your hashtag wisdom on these topics. So welcome to the show, Chuck. How are you doing, brother? How's things going for you out there in Alaska?
Hey, things are going well, Chief. I am truly honored to be on this show with you. You know, as you reached out to me and asked me to come on, I'm like, I am not qualified for this. I am not deserving to be on a platform of a leader such as your caliber. So I thank you for allowing me to join this conversation with you. And I'll share a couple nuggets from my perspective on what I think a performer and a poser is. So thanks for the opportunity. Brother.
Absolutely, man. And don't downplay yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, he's being humble. This is a leader of leaders. Man, I've known Chuck for quite a few years and a couple of years, I should say, and ran across paths out in the beautiful South Dakota, sunny and warm up there. It's like the beaches, y'all. You ever want a good assignment in the United States Air Force, head on up to South Dakota. Don't believe all the negative stuff that you hear. We had a great time. I had a great time up there at Ellsworth and got to meet a phenomenal human that you're hearing on the other end of the mic, if you will. And Chuck, and I tell you what, just a phenomenal leader, man. So thanks for your humility, and you're always approachable. That's why your airmen love you, and that's why your airmen come and chat with you and get direction and guidance. And that's why we're trying to tap in, man. We want to tap in, and anybody that hears this is going to be blessed by your wisdom. And I'm not just trying to blow your head up, man. You're really good stuff. So let me tell you a little bit to the audience about what Chuck's about. Now, like I said earlier, he's a senior enlisted leader in our Air Force, and for the civilian audience that might be listening in, I think mid-level to upper management within a corporation of about a couple hundred people, if you want to kind of think operations and human resource management type of perspective that Chuck's out there leading in the 673rd Medical Support Squadron at Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson. We call it J-Bear. He oversees Air Force's largest OCONUS TRICARE operations and patient administration flight supporting a 55-bed joint venture facility serving 228,000 patient visits. That's a lot. Hey, look, his bio goes on for like ever. It's a whole book within itself about all the stuff that Chuck gets after. But he is a crazy busy, crazy good leader in our Air Force and doing some amazing things. Something else that you might not know about Chuck, behind the scenes, setting up, scheduling, and doing a lot with our crucial conversations within the Air Force have been critical. So, you know, we're a diverse organization in the Air Force, but working on that inclusivity and Chuck is power behind that. But Chuck, that's the official lead in. Why don't you tell the audience who you are, what you're about, how you got to sitting in that chair that's across from me on the other side of the world right now, you know, virtually connected though. Who is Chuck, man?
All right. Thanks for the introduction, Chief. A little bit about me. I'm a native of Gulfport, Mississippi. It's awesome to share this platform with a fellow Mississippian. I'm married to my beautiful wife for 18 years now. We have two children together, my oldest being 19, Oriana, and my youngest being 15, Amira. My oldest daughter, she attends the Louisiana State University, so go Tigers, where she's majoring in biochem and looking to be an optometrist once she finishes her undergrad studies. My youngest sophomore in high school, she's getting ready, prepping for college and stuff. We are a family that believe in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we live our life as Christ will live. So that's a little bit about me. I'm kind of ready to get up into this conversation here. I'm ready to share some notes that I made pertaining to the subject here. So thanks again, Chief, for having me on. And I look forward to the discussion.
Absolutely, brother. Sorry to step on you there. A little bit of a lag there, but so thankful to have you on. And before we get into this, let's have a crucial conversation, my man. You from Uh-oh. Mississippi, and I heard LSU Tigers. I know I gave you a little bit of a fist bump, but really it's more of that because it's in the SEC. But how in the world did that treachery happen in the household where now we got, you know, somebody going to LSU and you're from Mississippi? I figured it would have been at least a Mississippi State or something, but maybe they just didn't have the program.
And so looking at the opportunities, Chief, I'm actually pretty thankful in the decision. She started off looking to go be an Aggie at Texas A&M, right? So she ended up visiting LSU. She ended up visiting Mississippi State as well. And LSU was the campus and in the environment that kind of drawn her in. So not upset about that. She's getting a great education out there in LSU, and I'm looking forward to everything that she's going to bring in her future.
Absolutely, man. No, I'm just having a little bit of fun. Super proud of her. Amazing accomplishment, getting into a new organization or a university at that level. And then LSU, yeah. I know we have a rivalry and when it comes to sports and things, but, man, that's a phenomenal college. I've got some friends that have gone there, some family members that have gone there, and it's a phenomenal university. So I can agree and understand when you talk about that environment. You know, we're talking about that a little bit today. We'll touch on some of that as we talk about performers and posers, about environments and things. And, you know, just reminding my audience, we're going to be talking about performers versus posers and what that really means. And you know, there's going to be an article as well that comes out. And, you know, Chuck is a co-author on that. So the points that he talks about here on the podcast, you want to go and visit the article. The link is in the show notes to where you can hear or read more about what Chuck has to say. And, you know, it's a lot of times in this life, we come across people that are just fake. And Chuck, I know you've unfortunately had your share to deal with that. Any leader in any level of any organization, any human on earth has had that. And this is a little more of an Air Force slant, but I know any leader from any organization could benefit from it. And I'd like your thoughts, man, as we just jump straight into this and get after it, you know, of what are performers in your eyes and Chuck's eyes, if we're going to break this down. I know you got a couple of main points here, but we break this down of, and I was pre-reading this, and you know, kind of what a performer is and what a poser is. Over to you, brother, of like, just explain to the audience what you think and how you see the performer and what that means.
All right. Thanks, Chief. So these are my viewpoints when it comes to performers. So the things I share today are viewpoints of mine. So individuals I consider performers are those that will go above and beyond to achieve their personal and professional goals. These are folks within our organization that will take initiative to lead a new project that comes down at the ninth hour. Individuals who display superior sustained performance and live up to the Air Force core values of integrity, service, and excellence. These are individuals who performance doesn't go up and down like a seesaw, like children playing on a playground. They are result-oriented individuals who focus on both the journey and the destination and do what needs to be done to push the mission forward. They understand and execute the vision of the team. They recognize the value that every member brings to the team and celebrate with them when they achieve success loudly and proudly. These folks are your biggest cheerleaders when it comes to team success. And when things get a little rough, these performers, they dig a little deeper and do what's necessary to propel the team to victory. Performers, we see you, we hear you. The work you're doing is not in vain. I know you're probably looking at the poser and thinking, dang, they're over there selling pipe dreams. And is this all it takes, right? We always ask ourselves after seeing somebody that's fake, is this all it takes to make it to the next level? I can assure you that it's not. I assure you what you're seeing out of the poser will not shine forever. We will get to that a little later. Know what you're doing is building something that will last much longer. Leaders, we have to do a better job in holding non-performers accountable and not put so much on our performers. As I thought about how to best describe you, a sunflower is what comes to mind. A sunflower symbolizes loyalty and strong bonds. Like the performer, it symbolizes positivity and strength. As the bloom turns to the face of the sun, like the performer, the sunflower nourishes itself and others. Since the sunflower produces an edible seed, I would like to leave you with a quote from Martha Graham. I believe that we learn by practice, whether it means to learn to dance by practicing dancing or to learn to live by practicing living. The principles are the same. In each, it is the performance of a dedicated, precise set of acts, physical and intellectual, from which comes shape of achievement, a sense of one being, a satisfaction of spirit, one becomes, in some area, an athlete of God. Practice means to perform over and over again in the face of all obstacles, some act of vision, of faith, of desire. Practice is the mean of inviting to perfection, desire. Performers, you are who you are because of your steadfast, immovable, and consistent in your works.
Chuck, that's some great stuff, man. I tell you what, something that you said that it really hit me. You know how the youngins say that just hit different, and it ain't mid. You know what I mean? Listen, high level. When you talk about performers recognize the value that every member brings to the team. So, you know, Chuck, you and I, we both from Mississippi, and I'm sure you've heard this before too. Like, we talk fast. You know what I mean? And you know, some of that, what it is, I really think is we got so much to tell people. We want them to know what we have been blessed with. We want them to know what we've been, something shared with us, and we try to get it out. But I want to slow us down a little bit on this one, man, because you got some wisdom here. Performers recognize the value that every member brings to the team. And here's the key part, boy, this made my heart happy. Celebrate them. Oh, man, that's a lot to unpack. We got to have church up in here on this one right here, Chuck. Celebrate them. When they achieve success, let's unpack that a little bit. There's a couple of points in this main point I want to unpack with you. Man, when I hear you say that, I hear, man, Chuck got a story behind this one. I don't know if you have a story or not, but I feel like you do. Like, help the audience understand what it means to be like, recognize every value, every team member brings value, and we celebrate them and their successes. Unpack that a little bit for us, man.
Yeah, I think for me, Chief, everybody brings a different aspect to the team. And we as leaders have to understand what each member brings to the team. I look at myself as a coach, right? Whether I'm coaching a sport or coaching a team, I need to find out what's the strengths, what's the weaknesses of my teammates. And while I'm not going to neglect those weaknesses, I am going to position my team like a point guard where I put them in position to succeed. And as I identify what their weaknesses are, we're going to work on those things too in order to develop them within that particular area. One thing we have to do, especially as leaders, we have to make sure we create wins for our people. That way we can get them in a position where any little small win would push them and motivate them to do even more. Right. I can tell you, for me, Chief, you invite me onto this podcast, you stress the heck out of me. Podcasts and vlogs and talking on a platform is something that I really don't do. I believe my work is done in the trenches. So we have to do that for people. We have to position them to win. And then we got to help coach them to get them over the finish line as well as leaders. So when I talk about creating wins and celebrating our folks loudly and proudly, it's the small things. It's the intangibles that we do for our folks. And then we celebrate them and let them know there's more within you than your there's more in you that you're capable of doing, and I'm here to root and cheer you on.
That's awesome, man. I tell you, you speak with such passion on these things. And you know, I heard Joe Bogdan say it one time. I know Joe Bogdan. Chief Bogdan is another senior enlisted leader in our Air Force, doing phenomenal things as an airman, as a chief, and as a person. Love brother to death. Actually, we were at the same basic military training flight together. But anyway, he brought up something about, I heard him on one of his podcasts. He's talking about promotion ceremonies. So for our civilian audience, when you make a selection for promotion in the Air Force, especially at the senior NCO levels, but at the NCO levels as well, there'll be like what we call a release party, where that's where, you know, the leadership, whatever level, right, doesn't really matter, has a list of names. We tell those people and they get to, you know, be really have a good time. And then we bring them over typically at the end of that week. They usually find out on Tuesday to Thursday, somewhere in there, that they made the rank, like individual notification. And then on that Friday, we typically have them over to what we call like a heritage club on the base there. And it's more than just, it's not like a club that you would think on the civilian sector, but just a place to gather. And, you know, everybody's there, they high five them, they play music and stuff, you know, it's a good time for them. And, you know, you can always determine, this is Joe's point of like, you can see people that got character. Character is revealed in these moments from the people that didn't get selected for promotion. And that's what as soon as I heard you say that, it jumped is the people that didn't get selected, but they're still there to you know, cheer on those that were selected. Those are performers. So Absolutely. Just broke down real well for us what a performer does in this situation. But break down for me, man, help me understand, in a situation like this, how does a poser react, instead of like, you know, recognizing that everybody brings something to the team? And I know it's not just the opposite of that. It is. it's the opposite of what you said, but it help us understand it a little bit. Unpack that from a poser perspective of what this looks like.
Hey, it's funny that you mentioned that, Chief. So as I start to think through the notes and stuff, I was like, I can just say the opposite of everything a performer is, but there's nothing we would get out of that. So I made some notes in terms of what I believe a poser is, right? So I'm gonna share those with you guys. Posers are one who pretends to be something they are not. There are individuals who oftentimes fit the right image or say the right things to get into certain positions, then fail to produce or stay true to their words. Posers are individuals that want you to believe they are the glue that holds everything together within the organization. There are individuals that fail at highlighting abilities and successes of others, and when they try, the spotlight always comes back to them. Posers point at other individuals when they fail, but a true performer points at themselves when they fail, right? We have to own the failures of our team and not pass blame onto anyone, because we are the driving factor behind our team. To drive this poser point home, I would like to compare posers to gold plating. Gold plating is a process where a thin layer of gold is bonded onto some form of base metal. Gold plating is commonly used for costume jewelry or to mimic more expensive pieces. It is almost impossible to tell apart expensive pieces from the imitations. Over time, the gold plating can fade and tarnish, not because of what you see on the outside, it's because of what you see on the inside, what's in the heart. Coming into contact with salt, water, sweat, or high humidity can cause the piece to lose its luster. Posers most often exude confidence, are well-liked, and are socially skilled, but never really achieve anything of substance and often make more of a mess when they are involved. Performers are the real deal, while posers are gold-plated. Allowing posers to go unchecked can bring about the level of risk that caused the entire organization to fail. One thing we have to do as leaders, we have to make sure that we check posers and not allow that behavior to fester within our organizations, because it's like a cancer, right? Anytime you allow things to fester, it starts to spread and people believe it. Hey, this is the way that we can do things to make it to the next level. And it, I can assure you that it's not.
You're absolutely right, man. There's a couple of things, no pun or play on what you said, but there's some more nuggets and there's some gold nuggets, if you will. I'd like to talk about this cancer piece you talked about. Now, I know there's, I don't want it to be taken out of context by any means. Cancer is, and we're not making light of it at all. But when you have cancer in the body physically, right, they don't just move the cancer like, oh, you have, let's say some stomach cancer. You don't have stomach cancer. Let's move that over to your leg. You know, like it's going to get out of the stomach. Let's just move it to the leg. No, we don't do that. We try to eradicate the body of cancer, right? We want to get the cancer out. A lot of times what I've seen in organizations, man, is we move that cancer around. You know, it's a HIDA program. It's a high dead NCO that can't get right. And what I mean by that is they fail to adjust to feedback. But a lot of times, and I'm going to spiral just a little bit, we're going to camp out. Chuck, let's camp out here for just a little bit. My audience knows that I'll go on some rabbit chases down some rabbit holes. And sometimes we just build a fire. We just camp out and we're going to talk. You know, sometimes they don't get that feedback a lot of times, but the cancer, man, you hit on a nail on the head. We have these posers out there, and a lot of times in the Air Force, we clap people up in any organization. It could be really any organization. We clap people up. You know, you see what you want to see at the time you want to see it. It's just, you know, the human psychic biases, blind spots, you name it. And we clap people up in rank and in position like, yeah, you're doing good because I saw 5 minutes of what you did and it was awesome. So we're going to clap you up. And it's that gold plating you're talking about. And man, underneath there, right underneath the surface, there's a cancer that's eating away at the organization because they're completely different when we aren't around. And I say we is like the leadership that's making that decision to push or promote or give somebody a higher probability of promoting. And then when we find that out, we're like, hey, well, you know what? You can't lead. So let's go put you over here in charge of this program in a broom closet or whatever. And that cancer is not out of the organization. That cancer hasn't been remedied or treated, we just moved it, right? So I like your point on that. I like to go back though to something you said right when you kicked into this transition here about individuals who oftentimes fit the right image. And man, let's unpack that. When I hear you say that, man, I'm like, I you know, I like social media. I'm on social media, so I'm not bashing on anyone on social media. But man, sometimes, man, these posers, they be interneting better than they interact. You know what I mean? Like, so when I hear you say that about the image, I see that selfie, right? Like, hey, look at me. I'm doing all this leadership stuff. And that's okay. You know, that's okay to connect with and for us as airmen, right? To connect with airmen in different generations, do things a little bit differently. I love that. But man, if that's all you're doing. So let's unpack that a little bit. What are your thoughts when you were going through this about the right image? Let's unpack that a little bit to help the audience understand that.
It's so we all know what an image is, right? And the easiest way of explaining this, Chief, is those folks that fake it until they make it, right? Those people that can say the right things, right, to move a person, those are individuals that are actors, right? So when I look at that and we talk about that point, these are actors. These are folks that are putting on a show just for the right people. The chief is looking, or the commander is looking, right? So I'm gonna do and say the right thing. So when I talk about posers and we kind of put a nail into that, and those people, like you said, that are taking those selfies, doing the videos and stuff like that, those are individuals that know what to do, right? This is what our leadership want to see. So I'm gonna show my leadership this, where they think that I'm doing the things I'm supposed to do. But I kind of talked about gold plating, right? When you talk about gold plating, Chief, that is the real deal. The outside of a gold plated jewelry is real, right? It's the inside that matters. It's the heart, right? You need to show me your work from your actions, not these little highlight reels that you're doing to perpetuate what greatness looks like, or what performers are really doing. Those folks that are in the trenches each and every day getting after the development of our airmen and pushing our teams to success. So,
absolutely, man. I tell you, it's interesting to hear you say that. And as you kind of wrap that up previously, before I came in and said, hey, let's unpack some stuff. You talked about leaders doing their job. Right. And I'm going to put Caleb's spin on it. You know, do your job, of course. You know, and there's a coach out there in the NFL. You know, I love football, and there's a coach out there, and I don't really care for the team. And I used them in the last one I talked about, when I said, about don't lose your locker room. I used that one team that beat the Seahawks. And it's hard for me to say their name. I'm not really a big fan, and they have to play the team I like a lot, and I don't like that. But anyway, that coach, you know, said, why don't you just do your job? Everybody do their job. Everybody do their job. And you mentioned that about leaders doing their job of holding people accountable. Let's chip into that a little bit. And what I mean by that, let's give them the opportunity to see if that gold is gold plating or is real gold, and give them an opportunity to see how are you going to perform in this situation. We do that through empowerment. Now, empowerment is done wrong a lot of times. It's feeding to the wolves, throwing people in the fire, not preparing them. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about doing it the right way, coaching, inspiring, motivating, leading. And then let's test. And I'm not meaning that in a bad or mean way, but when we're in the business we're in, Chuck, it's the defense of our nation. I need to know that you go through and through, not gold plated. We can start getting shot at in whatever capacity that is, right? You start chipping, that's not the time. I need to see that you ain't through and through gold. So you talk about people holding people accountable. Man, I want our audience to understand, and I know you feel this way, Chuck, I feel this way. This is grade agnostic. When we're talking about United States Air Force and then pay grades for our civilian audience, when we talk about grade, that's the pay grades for our airmen. This is grade agnostic, meaning this is for everyone. We've got multiple people at multiple levels that are posing. And we see that, right? You said it earlier about, hey, I need to know. I know what the commander is looking for. I know the chief as an advisor, the senior master is an advisor advising to that. I know what they're kind of looking for. I know what the Air Force is looking for. And I'm going to give this gold-plated appearance. So I really challenge leaders at every level to make those hard right calls. And you'll see more about that in the article. But make the hard right calls. And Chuck, thanks for just pouring your wisdom into us. And, you know, we've kind of got a good, I really do believe, and I don't want to oversimplify, but I think we got a good idea of performers and posers from Chuck's perspective of like what to look for and, hey, identify these things. I'd like for you to give me a little bit of information, a little bit of your perspective on how do we go from poser to performer? You know, we got the battlefield set, we got the parameters set up. How do we make that leap from poser to being a performer?
All right, Chief. So my belief here is I don't think posers are posers because they want to be posers, right? It's one of those things where we need to make sure we're developing these folks up in the right area. So some of the things I believe to transform a poser into a performer, we must acknowledge our shortcomings up front, right? If you're a poser, just acknowledge it. We as leaders know exactly what we need to give you to help push you to the next level. Treat equals character plus competence. Do you have both? right? So it's a character thing, right? You have to have good character in order to be build trust, right? Which equals competency. My advice is to seek out a mentor and a coach to help develop you to reach your full potential. Find someone that's going to tell you what you need to hear versus what you want to hear. Start soliciting feedback from those that are in your formation and reflect on what is provided for application. Treat people with dignity and respect. Together, a mission-oriented team can thrive on the unique talents, knowledge, and skills of one another. Never use another person's back as a footstool to elevate yourself. The quicker you understand this, the faster success will find you. Practice humility and build credibility with your faithful actions of getting after the mission and taking care of people. A team of people working together to achieve the organization's goal can be more effective in accomplishing the mission than an individual working on their own. When the attitudes are positive and none are judgmental, the best teams are those that focuses on and acknowledges what others do right instead of criticizing and focusing on the things they're doing wrong. Remember, the success of a leader isn't measured by any individual accomplishment he or she has achieved, but is measured by the success of the team. Don't fake it until you make it, and never be afraid of failure. As leaders, and quite honest, as people, we cannot allow failure to stop our drive. When we become so afraid to fail, it causes us to become stagnant with our development. We can choose to see that failure as the end of the world, or we can choose to see it as a learning opportunity. If you always do what you've always done, then you always reap the same results. I'll leave you with this, a Chinese proverb. Behind an able man, there's always other able man. The truth is, teamwork is at the forefront of every high-performing team.
Very, very well stated, man. Again, you know me, I got a couple of things I want to unpack there. And I'd like to start with character. You know, there's a lot to be said about character and how we go through and determine what character is. I know United States Marine Corps, they have actually a part on their FitRef where they talk about character, and character is so vitally important. And, you know, I know there's a lot of basketball fans out there too, and famous UCLA basketball coach, a lot of people love the quote, but he said a lot about character. You know, if you weren't going to, and John Wooden, for anybody that's wondering out there, but he talked about, you know, if he gave a story one time of someone he went in to recruit at their house, and I might be getting them mixed up with an LSU coach. There was an LSU coach had a similar story, but regardless, the fact of the matter still remains about character. His mom, the player that he was recruiting, in the player's house, the mom had addressed the young man, and he responded negatively in the coach's eyes to his mom. And he's like, you know what? I don't want somebody like that on my team. I don't care how talented you are. So when you talk about character, it made me think about a quote that is anonymous, but characterize people by their actions, and you'll never be fooled by their words. And we're talking about posers and performers, man. I think that says a lot. I'd like you to unpack a little bit. Do you have any personal experience? And we don't have to use names, of course, by any means, or we don't want to use names. But where some, you know, when you're trying to make that leap from, and I say a leap, it could be a gradual, you know, walk, if you will, from being a poser to a performer, where a character flaw prevented them from being a performer. Do you have anything like that, or can maybe expound on like how that might, even if you don't have a story, how that might prevent someone from being a performer if you don't have the right character?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing when it comes to character, Chief, you know, it's easy to lose credibility where your character comes in to question. My belief when it comes to character, right, that one mistake you make could just crush you. But I don't think we can allow that to stop us. Right? We have to build that credibility back. I was talking to a young lady not too long ago about net worth versus work, right? A lot of times we talk about that network, but I believe you need to build that net worth where whenever things come into question, because life happens, Chief, no one's perfect out there. I think we as leaders, we need to understand no one's perfect, and there's times where folks' character will become into question, but we have to be able to give them the opportunity to succeed. Yeah. Right. My belief is for character, right, once it comes into question, you can loosen folks, but continue to build your net worth, right? Continue to pour into people and build that trust and that credibility back where you can get your character back into check, where you're no longer being questioned.
You're absolutely right, man. And, you know, it's not the core value, Air Force core value is not perfection in all we do, right? It's excellence, right? And you're right, absolutely. Man. There's a lot of people out there that maybe they don't call it perfection, but they're thinking, basically it's like, hey, this is how I did it. And this is how I approached that. And then therefore everyone else must approach it the same way to be successful. And, you know, I had somebody challenge me one time on something I was talking about. And they're like, well, guess what? You know, everybody's not going to do the same things you do. You're an X, Y, and Z, you know, and they fill in the blank for you, right? You could be like, well, not everybody's a senior master sergeant. Only 2% of the Air Force is senior master sergeant. So everybody's not going to do the things with the passion and the way that you attack the mission. And I'm not saying you do this, Chuck, but some people do, right? They get these positions and they expect other people to do that. So that's one thing that I wanted to unpack a little bit as you talked about that. The other thing is, when you talk about making a mistake, you're absolutely right. We're all human. We're all going to make mistakes. But what I have learned in my journey, man, I know you've seen this too, and I want our audience to think about this, is the emotional bank account. And I read this in a book, and forgive me, I don't remember what book it was, but I read this one time and it meant a lot to me. It's probably from John C. Maxwell, because at that point in time in my life, I was reading a lot of Maxwell. You know, if we spend time, and Chuck, I know you do, I've seen you in action doing it. You spend a lot of time as a leader and as a human pouring into other people's lives, building that credibility, building that trust. And when you're vulnerable and when you're approachable and when you're authentic, and not just be throwing out all these buzzwords, but when you truly think about the definition of those words and you execute and you live life that way, when you mess up, people are going to know that, hey, that's a good person. They slipped up, and you're going to apologize to your team or to that individual as applicable. You're going to seek their forgiveness, right? I know as men of faith, it makes sense to us, but even on people that aren't of faith, you know what forgiveness is. I'm not saying you have to just, you know, if you're on the other side of that, you have to forget what happened, but you can forgive people. Where the poser really struggles here in my mind, if everybody already knows you're fake, because you talked about don't fake it till you make it. If everybody already knows you're fake, they're waiting on you to slip up. And I'm not promoting this, but they're waiting on you to slip up and slip, trip, and fall. And then they're going to laugh at you. And they might not laugh outright, but they're not going to come back around and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give this person another chance. We know you were faking it. You're posing the whole time. And now I finally caught up with you. And we're just going to move on and not have to worry and not actually think about that forgiveness piece. But as I've rambled on there for a second, I'm camping out here. I really want to talk about this fake it till you make it. Man, I don't know exactly what your feelings are on this. And I know this ain't scripted. We in a real talk with Caleb right now. This ain't scripted. I would like your thoughts on what that is. Man, I got so many I could unpack myself, but I want to hear your perspective on that. Is that coming from a place of where you've seen this, happening where people are just faking it, as some direct examples or anything of additional perspective? Because I know we just, in your head, man, it makes a lot of sense, but we kind of breeze over it when we talked it. What does that mean to you, man? Let's unpack that one. Don't fake it till you make it.
Humility. It starts with humility, Chief. I can tell you, as a 4AO health service manager by trade, we have an opportunity to work in different areas within a hospital, whether it is in your TRICARE flight, your resource management flight, where you deal with budget and manpower, your readiness flight, where you're dealing with a lot of the deployment things and stuff like that. So we for AOs, we're pretty much the jack of all trades, master of none. We can get put into some positions that we've never worked at our entire military career, right? And going into those positions, especially as a senior NCO, you have some expectations, right? And with those expectations, you feel that you have to deliver. My belief is if you don't know something, that's why you have a team. Depend upon that team and don't sit there and sell all of these things that you think is the right thing when in reality it's the wrong thing, right? Because we as leaders, we can see right through it. So you don't have to be the smartest person on the team. I can tell you, Chief, where I'm sitting at right now, I have 39 folks within my flight. As a 4AO functional, I have 85 folks assigned to me with like 100 authorizations. And I am not the smartest one out of all of them. Yes, I am the functional, but I'm not the smartest. I depend on all of those folks around me to kind of help me in those areas that I just don't have it. I am very grateful that I have my MASCOM functional and to build it with me. If I'm thinking something, right, you have to get that quality check. Hey, Chief, here's what I'm thinking, all right? A lot of times we feel that we have to know it all when we get into certain positions. And oftentimes we just fake it, right? Like we know what we're talking about versus just asking a question. Hey, what it is that I need to be doing or should be doing or which direction I should be going in instead of just sending a team down a path to destruction.
Yeah, you know, Chuck, I don't know if you've experienced it or not. I'll be honest with you. I was blessed in the career field I came in, and it's been an amazing Air Force journey. And so I haven't experienced a lot of bad or toxic. I wouldn't even say I've ever, especially growing up in the Air Force from you. I would say growing up, and I don't mean any disrespect to anybody. We're all grown people. Who are like Chief Bass would say, we're all grown folk. But you know, there's a maturing, if you will, in the Air Force in any walk of life. I'd say from airman to NCO for sure, I never had anything a toxic leadership, but also I wasn't taught necessarily on purpose anyway. It didn't seem like until I was an NCO where, hey, you know what? You don't have to have all the answers. I had a civilian, and a lot of people that are in the Air Force or associated with Air Force understand from CE perspective, especially a lot of the MSG types have civilian workforce as well. And a civilian told me one time when I was an NCO, he's no longer with us. He's rest in peace. He has passed on now. But a gentleman had told me, he's like, you know what? One thing that makes a really strong NCO, he was giving me the welcome to Barksdale, this is how we do it here at Barksdale, is one thing makes a good NCO in this shop, Sergeant Vaden. And I was a staff sergeant at the time, Tech Select. He goes, is NCOs that aren't afraid to say they don't know what the heck they're doing and they can ask questions. And I'd never really had anybody tell me that before. So where I was going with this is, I don't know that we model that very well. You know, a lot of times we'd see the master sergeant and the senior master sergeant, the chief or whatever, like that person ain't never deployed or they don't know what they're talking about. Look at they act stupid up here. And I know there's always going to be some of that anyway. And I think we hear that as we're the rising up in the ranks. We're like, man, we're going to know everything. I'm going to study every book. So we don't really model in all cases holistically how to pause and say, hey, you know what? I don't have the answer on this. So I've tried to be really intentional about that. It's easy as a command chief. It's really easy because they already know that you don't know what they're doing anyway, or the details, right? You know, overall and holistically and the strategic picture and all that jazz. But when it comes down to the tactical airmen out there turning wrenches and getting the JOB done, I can't do their job. So anyway, it's one of those things. I don't know if you have thoughts on that, of how would we better model it? First off, I guess I'm implying you agree. First of all, you can disagree. If you agree or disagree on that point of do we model it well, and if we don't, how should we do it better?
For me is you got to show it in your action, Chief. Don't be afraid. I can tell you, I hold my staff meetings with my team. And if I don't understand something, hey, I need more details. I'm not understanding what we're getting after right here. And it's not that, it's not one of those things where I'm ignorant or anything like that. I have to remember, Chief, like you mentioned, you talked about the technical level. I haven't done the job in a long time, right? And rules have changed over the years. I might be misinterpreting what was in the past with what's going on today. So if something doesn't make sense, we have to model it by asking the question. No matter what the individual's rank is, I can tell you majority of my team are contractors and airmen. And I can tell you, I lean on them heavily to keep me, as we like to say, relevant, right? Yep. Because we're just not as relevant as we used to be when we was out there turning the wrenches, as you mentioned. So they help me be successful so I can go tell the story to our senior leadership and stuff. And I think we just have to model it.
Yeah, you're right, man. If that transparency, right? Like, hey, not only do I care and I want it, and you can't fake it, right? And no pun intended, but you can't fake caring. You can't fake asking people to know their job more and help me understand them. We can't fake that mess. They're going to see right through it. We were all airmen once, right? An airman basic to an A1C. We can smell that stuff a mile away when you're fake. So you can't be fake on it, but also tell them like, hey, help me understand because I care about what you do and your struggles, but I need to be able to communicate that. And a lot of us, the majority of the Air Force is enlisted force, right? We've got a lot of officers, but the majority is enlisted. Me and you both on the senior enlisted side, we're being advocates for our people. So that can also transition to the civilian sector, right? Mid-level and senior level managers and operations managers, human resource managers, being an advocate for your people, whether it be safety, helping them get more efficient at their job, get more tools, more resources, right? All that type of stuff. to help them, you know, be like you said, man, you hit the nail on the head of being transparent with what you're going to do with that information and how you're going to try to help them with it as well. Man, I couldn't think of a better way, a better jump off point from saying, don't fake it till you make it, because honestly, the only people you're faking is yourself. And just thanks so much, Chuck, for being on here today and sharing your wisdom, man. It's been phenomenal. It's been great talking to you. Man, me and you, we can straight have church in here and talk for 3 or 4 hours, but thank you for sharing your wisdom with us. And I would like, you know, just to, whatever time you want to take, man, to give you just a holistic approach, wrap up on everything you shared, what you want to kind of leave us with, and then I'll get into that triple heat. But before we do that, man, just give us some closing comments on performers and posers.
Awesome, Chief. Thanks again for the opportunity to serve up on this discussion with performers versus posers with you. Truly humbled by this opportunity. And performers, just keep doing what you're doing, right? The things that you're doing, you're building up your net worth. Right? Are you building it up where we see you and the things that you're doing is going to pay off. It's definitely going to pay off. And posers, I get it. It's not one of those things where you're doing it because you want to do it. You're doing it because you're afraid to fail, right? You don't want to be looked at as a failure. I can assure you, if you attach yourself to a mentor or a coach or things of that nature, they can help propel you to that performance stage where you don't have to pose anymore, right? Because as we talked about the gold plating and stuff, that's gonna wear off, right? So we need to make sure that we make you the real deal. Chief, this was awesome. Thanks for the opportunity and thanks for stretching me because like I mentioned early on, I don't do podcasts. Right. I really don't talk until like a big audience or anything like that. But thanks for believing in me and giving me this opportunity to share the things that I share in the trenches with my people.
Absolutely, brother. Hey, guess what? That's past tense now. I don't know if you know that or not. You said I don't. You didn't. Now you do because you've already done it. It's over now. Like you finished it. It's all good. Only got the triple heat left. This is the easy stuff now. So that's a past tense. So you already accomplished it, man. So thanks so much. I'm going to give that tagline when I post this. Like go come in and find out about gold plate and what's your worth on the inside or something like that. Give you a good tagline. But man, as we wrap up, I know we'll stay connected and we'll stay in touch. It's not like a one and done for us by any means. But I'd like just to ask you a couple of questions, three to be exact. Just kind of, you know, it gets a little more personal, you know, so people kind of know Chuck a little bit more. And I think it's good to know a little bit more about our leaders. And I'll have you on again, and we'll go into the depths of what Chuck wants to share about his childhood and everything like that, how you ended up in the Air Force. But on here, I'd like to ask you in the triple heat, what's your favorite quote?
Yeah, Chief. So, you know, favorite quote. I don't just have one. There's many out there, but what I'll do is I'll share two. One is one that I kind of created for myself, right? Because we have to practice our faith, right? Whether you're a believer or not. And my belief with me, and I'm gonna bring my true self every single day, is you can't have me without having a Christ to reside in me. So that's one of the quotes that I share often with folks. And another one is, you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. As leaders and quite frankly, as humans, right? We seem to pass up opportunities a lot because we don't want to fail. I think we have to be bold. Be willing to bet on yourself. Be willing to bet on others and success will follow. So, Chief, those are the two quotes that I want to leave you. I know you asked for one, but I definitely wanted to leave you with two.
When Joe Bogdan had me on one time, man, he asked me, what's your favorite book? And I gave him like 10. He's like, bro, I said one. I was like, okay, whatever. Put one on there, then I'm going to give you 10. But thank you so much, man. Those quotes are phenomenal. The last thing, but the next thing I want to ask you is, what's your favorite book? I know you got a lot, same thing I just told you about. I know you get a lot of favorite books, but as it pertains to this particular topic, for young people out there, and I shouldn't say young in age, but young in their walk or wherever they are in their walk, I guess, that you would recommend to them that pertains to this topic and how it might help them.
Yeah, the one that came to mind for this one, Chief, will be the Infinite Game, right? By Simon Sinek, right? Those finite players that spoke about up in that book, they're just looking for the quick win, right? And those infinite players, they're looking to win over and over and over again. It's not just creating just one win or one victory. And you said it's real talk, Chief?
Absolutely, brother.
All right, let's get real talk. I talked about the sunflower, right, in the performance section of this podcast here. And what I come to find out is that the sunflower is Ukraine's national flower. As I think about this book, The Infinite Game, and what's going on in Ukraine right now, I look at Russia as a finite player. They're strong. They have a large military going up against an unmatched military in Ukraine. But the will of the Ukrainian people to fight back and hold the line. So to go with this topic, performers versus posers, I would like to say Infinite Game.
That's a great book. I'll link it in the show notes for everyone as well. It'd be the Amazon link. There's multiple places you can get it, but that's the easiest one for me to throw in there. And I'm just keeping it real. It's easy. So I'm going to put the Amazon link in there and you can go find it wherever you want to. But it's a great title, man. It's a great thought process, right? And you talk about the Ukrainian people, and this is a little bit off of my normal script of how I do these three questions, but I just feel moved to have a little bit of a conversation about it. You know, it's the infinite game in their mind is about their legacy, about their generations to come, right? It's not a land, you know, where Russia potentially, right, not turn this politically at all, might be a land grab. They want that land bridge, whatever it is that they want it for, resources or whatever. But Ukrainian people, man, inspiring, right? It's horrific things they're experiencing, but it's inspiring to see that fight and that will to fight for a legacy. And speaking of legacy, man, you know, I'm flipping this thing up on its head. A lot of times, you know, people introduce themselves in the very beginning, which we gave you a brief intro. But what I have learned, as John C. Maxwell would say, when you end up talking about legacy, it's good for the audience, I believe, to hear where that person came from and how they want to leave a legacy. So you've probably heard me say it before. I know the audience has. We're in our dash right now, brother. And you know, you got that birth year and you got a death year on your tombstone at some point in time. Hopefully it's a long time away from here for us, but we're in that dash right now. So tell us what you want us to know about you were born and now you're sitting in front of us and everything in between you want us to know about, because we got a little bit of time here left. And and then what you want your legacy to be. So Chuck was born, he's sitting here, he was gonna fill us in on all those gaps he wants us to know about, and then what you want your legacy to be as you pass on, what you want your legacy to be, whether it be military, life, boats, whatever it is, man.
All right, thanks, Chief. So my dash, right? We all joined the military for whatever reasons. Education just wasn't one of those things that I wanted to do. But I did understand that the life that I was living, I no longer wanted to do that anymore. Grew up in extreme poverty, Chief, where I was in a single parent home, right? My mother did everything she could to take care of me and my siblings. And I wanted to break that cycle of poverty that we had growing up. So I joined the military, right? And over that time, we all have our different reasons on why we joined. I had a love of country, a love of service, giving back to people and stuff. So as I kind of wrap things up from a career standpoint, and something that I've learned over time is we're living in a very dark, and oftentimes we just need somebody to speak into our life and give us hope. So as I live my life and I live with the Christ within me, I want to be known as being a hope dealer, giving folks hope when they've lost everything that they feel that they've lost, right? Because they didn't lose it, because it's not over. Like you mentioned that dash, when they feel that they can no longer dose of hope that you can make it.
That's awesome, man. You're a good soul, brother. I I'm not just saying that to placate you. I want people to know they're listening to this. You know, you're a good person. I know they're going to pick that up from your voice, not just the sound of your voice, but what you're saying through your words. And I can tell you, audience, from 100%, I keep it 100 here. Chuck is 100% what he says, right? So we talked earlier about the words, they match the actions match the words, 100%. That is for Chuck. And so, man, I just want to thank you again for being on here, sharing your soul with us, your perspective and your wisdom, man. Truly phenomenal person. I want to say, first off, truly phenomenal person. I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud of not just, you know, a lot of times we just say we're proud of people. We don't say we don't say that a lot of times, but when people do say it, sometimes they don't say what for. And just you sharing your story about where you come from and trying to make a break that cycle and create a platform for your family for generations to come, and paying it back to airmen and, you know, from service standpoint, the nation, man, I tell you what, just truly proud of the way you attack things and proud of your, you know, it's probably an overused word, but you truly are a representation of a resilient soul. So I just want to say thank you for that. And I'm proud of you for that. And thanks again for coming on the show, man. We'll jump off here. And to the audience, y'all know how this goes. Stay safe out there. And as always, keep it real. Be hard to kill. We out here. I'm gonna tell you no matter.